the Tamasic people now, or Tamasic activities, when people have financial freedom, if they don't have fulfillment in their life, which means, to me, fulfillment means the 9 key areas of our life, which is wealth and prosperity, our fame and reputation, our relationships, connection to our inner child or our children, helpful people and travel, our career, time for meditation, knowledge and self-cultivation, continuing education, our health and family, and being balanced. When we don't have time for those things, money, when somebody has a lot of wealth, like my father, or financial freedom, and they don't have a bill or a concern about finances, and they're not having a job with coworkers or friends or anything, sometimes these people just sleep all day long. Sometimes they just watch TV all day long, like my dad. He'll watch TV a lot, or sleep a lot and whatever. And so tamasic means they just become lazy. And when they become lazy mentally or in the mind, then what happens is they become physically lazy, then spiritually lazy, emotionally, then they start getting depressed and down, and they start worrying, and life just becomes like, oh, you know, they dread waking up the next day, because what are they going to wake up and do? Absolutely nothing. So tamasic energy sets in when people have a lot of time without fulfillment, a lot of financial freedom without fulfillment. So, you know, acquiring money with those 9 areas in mind, or fulfillment in mind, will lead to a balanced perspective and to true wealth and to happiness and to peace of mind and to the real dream lifestyle that everyone wants to have, not the other way around. Somebody who earns a very little bit of money but makes maybe a few hours every weekend to go to the beach, to meditate, to have fun, to buy little things within their means and budget, this person will experience tremendous happiness, and as they get more and more money, they will buy more and more of those things, and they'll have more and more free time and happiness. So with that said, if somebody is later on in life, you know, we have a population that's 50 years, and, you know, like every 8 minutes, we have another senior citizen going into their 50s, that's a different story. It's a different perspective. That type of a person, they don't have very much time before retirement. So if you're listening to this and you're in your 30s, your 40s, or even your early 50s, you still have another, you know, 20, 30 years or 10, 15 years before you're retired to have financial freedom, money, and the quality of life that you want. But remember, quality of life doesn't come at the end of your life when you made all this money. Quality of life comes along the journey of life every single day, the relationship with your coworkers, the relationship with your spouse, the relationships that you have. Those are the underlying wealth factors, and if we can do that, money will value us, and the people will value us, and we will be able, our customers will feel that, and we will be able to raise the vibration of money to wealth. So I have a lot to talk about with the concept of money, and again, I want to pass it on to Jonathan to share maybe a second tip that he has about how, you know, money can affect us and benefit us, and what, you know, what ideas he has. Thanks again.
Well, I think the second tip, which would be really good to keep in mind, is, like you said, to have at least a plan and purpose behind what, you know, why you are wanting to earn this money, why you want that change in your life, and what you're going to do when you get there. I mean, it doesn't have to be set in stone, but just kind of a tentative idea, because I've heard of people that want to get money because everyone told them that they wouldn't, you know, they were not, you know, going to succeed in life, or they got made fun of in high school. I know someone like that who wanted to make money just to show those people that he could, and that he was, you know, was better than they said. And I think, to what if that scenario actually did happen and he showed up with all of his money? would the people that were making fun of him care? I don't think they would. I mean, maybe they'd be like, oh, wow, you have a Ferrari. That's nice. But beyond that, it's kind of like an episode of a TV show I saw where a guy got picked on. It was a very popular show. He got picked on in high school by the, you know, one of the very popular guys. And so he trained for, I don't know, like 10, 20 years in martial arts just to be able to prepare for seeing that same bully again so he would never get beat up. And then when he did, the bully was just shocked. He was like, you trained all this time just to fight me? I mean, maybe you're taking things a little bit too seriously. Sorry about that. And so it's kind of this thing where you have to consider what you're going to do when you get there. And what I would include in this second tip also is to enjoy the journey, as Indira talked about. And there are so many wonderful gems of wisdom and the stories you'll have to tell along the way. There will be challenges when we grow. There's challenges that come up. There's testing periods. Those are all determined by what someone's goal is and, you know, what they have going on within themselves. But just think of the stories you'll have to tell. I mean, a great story, like, say, The Lord of the Rings. Would it have been a great story if they said, okay, we're going to go throw the ring into the lava, and they just got some express flight there and threw it in? Would that make much of a story? Not really. You know, people won't connect with that. They won't connect with the struggles and the pains and the challenges that they had to overcome. And so that's what makes great stories. And the journey, it's so much more satisfying and fulfilling when you've overcome those challenges and you grow and you learn so much more about yourself. And then when you're there, you just get that feeling like you've truly earned what you have. You've earned that money. And you don't have to feel like it was some unfulfilled way that you got it. I mean, there are various ways to get money, passive, active, whatever. But you just get that, it's just going to, I guarantee it will be more fulfilling, and it will be more of what you're looking to get when you get there to that final destination of having the level of financial wherewithal that you are looking to have. So that's what I have for tip two. If you'd like to add anything, Indira, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it as well.
Yeah, and back to the energy of money. I have seen over 50 different business industries, you know, from the billion-dollar companies like Zurich Re, Swiss Re, Prudential that I audited with billions of dollars in assets to working in corporate financial control at Citibank, trillions of dollars there, to, you know, small salons and small, estheticians, and I've done accounting for and auditing for all sorts of businesses, a mechanic shop, a bookstore, you name it, and I've done it. And what I have noticed is that money comes to all of these people, you know, like at times it will just come into, you know, I always try to talk about the molecules of this planet and the illusion that we think is real. And the only way that I can express that is if we take a dollar bill and we literally burn it, or we crumple it up, or we rip it up to shreds, or we wash it, it'll be gone. It'll disintegrate. It'll vanish. It'll just turn into paper molecules and ink, and whatever was in there, it will decompose. The same thing, if we take a piece of furniture and, you know, we smash it to pieces and, you know, with a hammer, and we pound and pound on the wood, it'll become pulp, it'll vanish. Well, what does it vanish into? It vanishes into energy. If we take one of my favorite examples is water, you know, we take boiling water and it's evaporating all that steam. It goes back into the oxygen molecule, H2O, and then the hydrogen and the oxygen molecules. So it vanishes. So everything on our planet comes back to the chemistry, the table of elements, and the element of money, for money to be attracted to us, has changed to providing service. It has never changed from that energy is the permanent energy, or the cosmic energy that I call cosmic marketing of money. If it was a caveman era, the caveman valued maybe a piece of meat, maybe a bone, maybe an arrow, maybe corn. So he would trade his corn for maybe an arrowhead, because it had value for him, because with the arrowhead he can maybe go and hunt and shoot a deer and have deer meat. If someone traded deer meat that was dried in the sun, that took months in the summer and winter was coming, it was food, it was survival. So he would trade maybe his fur, or he would trade some of his dried nuts or fruits, you know? So the value that money holds will not change. That means that the service that someone did to make that arrow, the pounding that someone did to make a piece of furniture and the nail and the hammer, that's not going to change. A mechanic fixing someone's car, that's not going to change. Buying a book where someone's getting the value of increasing their education or intelligence, that's not going to change. An esthetician providing a service of making someone's face beautiful and giving them a massage, that's not going to change. What does change is the medium, or the way money is exchanged. Maybe in the future it will be a chip. Maybe it will be a solar chip. Maybe it'll be something on our cell phones. A lot of us do our bankings on our phone and check our bank accounts online now. I know I went online with all of my account, my banking on the cell phones. Many years ago, when I said the cell phone will become the new money, no one believed me. But now we have Chase QuickPay, we have PayPal here, we have eBay, we have all of these ways that money is being exchanged. Well, guess what? The cell phone is now the new money. So the apparatus, whether it's beads, shells, the cell phone, a credit card, a dollar bill, silver, gold, grains, you know, property, that physical thing will change depending on what society values. You know, some people value it as sex, so they give cash for sex. You know, it's the value that people receive. So when we're going for cash, when we're going, if you're an entrepreneur, you cannot focus on what I call the end result, which is having, I need money, because I always talk about it like no one wants to give anyone that says I need money, because everybody needs money. The world functions on I need money. But if we focus on a plan of action, exactly what we're offering, you know, the offer that we're making that has value and need, the customer who needs it, then we don't have to worry about money at all. The stress about money is gone. And I think a lot of people forget that fundamental, that taking care of our customer, going back to some of our previous calls, knowing who we really are, what we're here to offer, is very important. A lot of people, they don't have a problem, you know, making an offer because they have a lot to offer, but they're terrified to communicate that offer, which is the marketing class that we did, the messaging, getting the right message to the customer. So it's very important that, you know, we provide a high, again, the product, the marketing, and the accounting. The product, high quality products to provide value to people, and to have a sales and marketing that will communicate that message that we have something of value to offer. That's why every time I do a show, I talk to you about the Mind Power for Success program. I talk to you about my consultation. I talk to you about my book, because I want you to know that I have these things to offer you, so that if you have that need, or you know an entrepreneur that has that need, or someone who is starting a business or an executive that needs that coaching or that consultation now, I am here and I can help you. It's important that we can clearly communicate what we can do for our customers. And then thirdly, the accounting is a critical part that I've noticed that, you know, something that I'm very passionate about that a lot of business owners don't do. Accounting just means we're literally counting, and a measurement tool. A lot of business owners wake up 2, 3, 4 years later and they're out of business, or they owe the IRS a lot of money, or they've made so much money they have huge tax liability, or they don't know where they stand, or they don't know what is selling or what's not, and they're at a standstill. And then they have to do back accounting, and it can be very expensive because with the financial regulation and compliance and rules with the IRS, you know, it's important to understand what accounting is and accounting for money. And, you know, it's really, really good that there are systems like QuickBooks that can, you know, that can help to put that in perspective. But it still needs, I advocate very strongly, still hiring an accountant or a CPA to help you set up a system. And then you can easily hire a bookkeeper to maintain and do the data entry and things like that. Because the knowledge of tax planning and tax savings, things like that, is very important to keeping money. Because accounting is a measurement tool to see how much sales and marketing and how many product and services went out. And if we're doing an accounting and our financial statements, our profit and loss, or our balance sheet, you know, statement of cash flows, or there is no cash flow, or there is no net profit, there is no salaries being paid to the owners, we have to do something to change that. So it is a tool to help us measure that. And as I continue, I will be adding maybe a section in each one of my shows, because I have so much accounting knowledge and product quality and service quality knowledge that I may just do a segment for what accounting is. A lot of people don't understand what it is and what it can do, and I may even create, depending on the need, some valuable instructions and products on how you can set up your accounting system properly to help you that way, so that you can be able to measure, you know, daily, weekly, monthly, where your business stands. And there are so many tools, like forecasting tools, budgeting tools, and so many analyses that you can use to do that. So I really want to thank you for listening to this show. I'll pass it over to Jonathan for tip number 3, as we just allow things to flow out of our minds and my knowledge to serve you as entrepreneurs out there, or potential entrepreneurs. And I wish you tremendous success in your business. You can always reach me at Indira.com or info@jevolution.com. And you know, I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. Tip number 3 is to focus on value and not just the medium of exchange and currency, and also to look at your financial situation, no matter what it may be, whether you're a business owner or whether you are just someone who has a job or any other situation. You kind of look at it from that accounting angle. You can start to educate yourself a little bit of how to look at it from, as if you were running a business, you know, your budgeting, your, you know, your overhead, things like that. And then you can kind of get a better idea and begin to actually predict the way your financial future will go. And so with the value, I would say, when a business owner looks at the value of something, a savvy business person will look at, okay, so this is how much money needs to be allocated for whatever the good or service is, and this is what it will provide, and how will that be? It will either be a necessary expenditure or a return on investment, also shortly known ROI. And that's how they look at things. So it's not so much how much does it cost, it's what is the value going to be to me. And sometimes, even if it's a bit of a stretch, monetarily, currency wise in dollars and cents or whatever currency a person is using, even if it can be a stretch, if they're seeing in the long run that it's actually going to save or make them money, or provide a very necessary or valuable service, like any product should do, it should fall into one of those three categories. It should either make you more money, it should either save you more money, or it should either fill a need or an absolute want that is, you know, that is present within the consumer. So though, that's tip number 3. I think that will give whoever is using it a very good idea of how to shift their perspective more to a business owner angle and investing and value, as business owners have to make the decisions to do always. And that will bring more control and start to be able to forecast where the financial situation is going to go. And that's really what accountants are very valuable for in companies. They will tell the managers and the president, CEO, they will begin to tell them, you know, this is what we have going on here. These are our projections here, which is simply projecting how much money is going to be needed here, or how much money is going to come in for profits. And it becomes just a really, really valuable asset to any business and any person's personal life. So I would encourage you to learn what you can about that in our other videos. And also, if you can pick up a copy of Cosmic Accounting, some of the principles are covered in there. So thank you so much. That is tip number 3. Is there anything else?
I'm looking forward to the next episode, and I want to thank you so much for your time. And there's always more coming on the next show. Thanks again.
Thank you.